We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you took that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Have yeah,
to
absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Happy Independence Day, O'Really Radio listeners. This is O'Really Radio, episode 13. For Friday, July 4th. Damn, what have I been drinking? Ugh, it's Independence Day.
Good stuff.
Congratulations.
What have you been drinking? I want some.
I don't know.
Clearly.
Whatever happened. Anyway, O'Really Radio, episode 13 for Friday, July 4th, 2014, the Independence Day edition.
And happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, America. Yes. So, I'm your host, Andy. We've got Mike. We've got Don, we've got Ann, but we don't have a David. He's out partying and being a semi-adult, enjoying himself. Well,
earlier I had video showing the fireworks outside. They seem to have died down now, so.
Yeah, that's what happens when they run out of gas and lighter fluid and things like that.
No, that's what happens when they run out of fireworks. Then they find the gas.
Oh.
And make their own.
Molotov cocktail, anyone? It'll be delightful.
But that's a waste of good vodka.
No. That's always gasoline. That's always gasoline. Come on.
The vodka doesn't burn well enough.
No, it only burns going down.
It burns so good. I love it.
That's right. No.
The Ghanaian rum was going down pretty smooth earlier.
That bottle you showed, that was that looked awfully tasty.
It was from Ghana. So Ghana.
Ghana.
The South America version, not the African version.
Well, I remember in the Countries of the World song from the Animaniacs that Ghana is one of them. So that's okay.
Yeah. I remember that. That was nice. Wonderful.
It's Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Greenland, Greenland, Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Honduras. No, okay, I'm stopping.
Okay. It's for America. It's
America. Yes. We're in there. So we've got some things to talk about. Apple apparently in the electronics arms race to get wearable tech out there has snatched up Tag Heuer VP. Their big watch manufacturer to basically get some more input on well, they're not obviously going to disclose what they hired him for, but I think we can all kind of guess that, they're going to be doing some watches.
We all know, Apple. We know your gimmick by now. You keep this whole thing a big secret for years and years, and then you release something that's already been done by somebody else, and done better, by the way. Womp womp.
Well, not always.
And for very expensive, too.
Yes.
And for ridiculously expensive, yeah.
They might as well do a citizen version.
Oh, jeez. Well, I will say a couple things about Apple versus say, Android. Android is it really is the Mac versus PC universe. So the Mac, it's simple. It's just dead simple. It works pretty much all the time. It's very good for certain things, like actually being a phone. Apple's pretty good for just being a phone, actually. For Android, it's a mini supercomputer with a phone attachment, I find. The phone works occasionally, but it's great at doing everything else.
The phone works fine for all that people use phones for nowadays, a 2-minute phone call every now and then.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
With a few thousand texts in between.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, we will segue into that crazy person in a moment. But first...
Oh, yes. We'll get there.
But first, since we're talking about wearable tech, Google has, you know, infamously or famously, of course, have their Google Glass product, which is basically a set of weird kind of specs with this big camera attachment on the side with a little heads-up display. This has, of course, sparked a lot of people not to be very friendly to it because it has a camera pointed at whatever the person's looking at. And people seem to not like to be on camera at all, ever.
No figure.
So,
except for they have...
So people have gotten a little nickname. They're called glass holes. If they happen to be wearing these.
Yeah.
But what they've done is, I have not yet had a chance to wear them myself, but apparently with the new, at Google I.O., their big developer conference just happened, so all this information is just poured out. And they're really big in Google Wear, that's the, not as in where am I, but Google Wear wearing this device thing. So this is a set of code that they're implementing into the operating system that's going to be in the next version, which is L, in case anybody's keeping track of that. They haven't named what dessert product it's going to be because they have this penchant for doing that. Like, the last one was Kit Kat for Kit Kat bars. So it could be, you know, lollipop or who knows what it's going to be. It might not even be anything that might go away from that because, well, they're a technology company and they can do things like that at their whim.
Baby Riff.
No, it'd have to be L. L.
Oh, L.
L, yes. So think of whatever candy you can with that has L in it. And that might be it. Who knows? Nobody can figure it out. Somebody was thinking like lemon heads or...
Lemon drop.
Lemon, yeah, it could be... Yeah. No. Laffy Taffy, you know, who knows? But inside the latest version is it's very heavy in integration with Google Wear. So now Samsung, of course, also famously came out with their Google Gear watch, which only stupidly worked with their own Samsung products. It had its own little app store, and basically it was only valid if you had the latest Samsung phone or you had one of the, I think the Note 3. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was all it was going to work with. And it was really expensive, like $300. So now we're seeing more come out. Motorola is coming out with their Moto 360 smartwatch, which looks fantastic. And it actually has a round LCD display.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Which looks really awesome. So basically, like, okay, as long as the phone's down, not the phone, but the watch is down at your side, you know, normal walking fashion, the display is going to be off. But it senses when you bring it up to look at it, and it turns it back on.
So, well, yeah, because they got all this, like, internal gyros and smart recognition, mm-hmm. and your phone does it, too. It's got a little sensor in it that tells when it's got a face in front of it, it turns on the screen. And it'll hold the screen on until you look away, which is really cool.
Well, that's specifically in the Samsung products now.
Yeah,
That's one of their gadgets.
The technology is out there. Is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, cool. It's there and it's large and in charge. So Google is using this card interface, which is basically Google Now. There it goes.
And your phone just turned on.
Yes, I have the Moto X, and the Moto X has a co-processing chip in it that just listens for voice commands. It also listens for, it watches for movement and things like that. And right now, when I said, okay, Google Now, or Google Now, it prompted a voice, stop it. It prompted a voice recognition, feature that would then listen for whatever I wanted to say. So I could send a text, I could call somebody, all without ever actually touching the phone. It's really slick. And it's that kind of technology that's going to be integrated into these latest ones that are coming out. There was two that were offered at Google I.O. so the developers could get their hands on them early. The Moto 360 is going to come out in a couple months, so like September. So I think I'm going to get one because I really, really want it. So I'll let you know how it goes.
All righty then.
I don't know. What do you guys think about wearable technology? I also kind of want a Pip-Boy.
I was about to say, I want a Pip-Boy. I want to live in Shadowrun. Let's get all of the technology everywhere, please. Can I have my integrated heads-up display? Where's my augmented reality? I want it.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Which part? The Pip-Boy?
Pip-Boy.
The Pip-Boy 3000 or 2000 if you played the original Fallout.
Yes.
It's from the video game series, from Bethesda Games, Fallout. And it is a wearable computer with like this big CRT green screen. It's just epically awesome. And it was the game's method of controlling things like, the Vault-Tec assisted targeting system, VATS.
Yeah, VATS, your targeting system, your inventory was managed there. You can look at your stats and all sorts of stuff. And then all of the like the notes that you pick up and the data disks and then audio recordings in the later games.
Yeah.
It was all handled on a computer on your wrist.
Yep. It's pretty slick. And of course that's one of those things that in geek pop culture has spawned a lot of people to make replicas and things like that. And I've seen some cool ones out there. I will be 3D printing one that I can fit my phone into.
Yes.
I will be doing that too.
I want one.
Because I can't help it. I just have to.
I want one when you do this. I must have. Okay. I must have.
Okay. I'll get the dimensions of your phone and we'll figure it out.
Awesome.
So I'm not sure where wearable tech's gonna go, because obviously the glass hole thing has not really gone very well. But watches, that's pretty much a cultural thing that everyone has had
at some point.
Everyone's got watches. And as long as ever since
Get Smart, somebody's wanted something like that.
No, dude, even earlier, Dick Tracy.
Oh yeah, sorry, remember, Dick Tracy. Yeah, that's it.
Yes, I definitely want the Dick Tracy watch. I really do. But everybody should, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Of course, I used to wear a watch all the time, and then I have a cell phone. Cell phone has the clock on it. I don't wear one anymore. Of course, also, as I got older and hairier, I realized that the band was just, like, pulling all the hair off my arm, and it pinched and it hurt all the time.
Well.
Yeah, it was just one of those unintended consequences. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I want wearables. I'm not into the Nike Fuel Band or the Fitbit or any of those things, because really, I only run when chased. Just one of those things.
That makes me happy.
It just doesn't happen.
Not very often.
No, it doesn't happen very often, because I'm also a big guy, so no one's going to bother chasing me, because I'll just beat them up.
There you go.
So yeah. Hey, you know, yeah. Hey, I learned from MacGyver a long time ago. If you don't want to be touched, look untouchable. So there you go.
You and your love affair with MacGyver.
Dude, absolute hero. I can do so many things with paper clips and duct tape. You have no idea.
I do have an idea. I lived with you, remember?
That's true. That's true.
I've seen some of the things you can do.
I want to
see your angry face.
My angry face?
I want to see your angry
face. Let me see your war face!
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Let me see your war face.
if somebody was coming after you and you wanted to look scary, what would you look like?
I would look like Dexter with a knife.
There you go.
Oh, jeez. That's the way to do it. That's the way to go machete, right there.
Machete's scarier,
just,
though.
I have one in my car.
Machete?
Yeah. A machete.
Machete.
Yeah, the machete. I got a machete in my trunk.
Machete.
Puerto Rican butter knife.
Yeah, you know. Puerto Rican butter knife. Wow. Okay. So on that note.
Wow, we're jumping into the racism early today.
No, it's actually affectionate. I know a lot of Puerto Ricans, and they all have machetes, and they all use them for everything.
They're incredibly useful. It's true.
Yeah, they are. I'm not being racist.
You can butter toast. They use them. They're slit someone's wrist or neck.
you don't slit anything. You hack.
Yeah, yeah, you hack.
Wow.
And you can butter toast.
Yes.
You can totally butter the toast. Yes. Your toast will be buttered with a machete. So.
Well, that comes to the Cuban bread. You just do your whole.
Oh yeah, the whole loaf at once. Yeah, the whole loaf at once. That actually could work. In a strange kind of way. So let's we'll move off to the wearables, and we'll keep an eye on that, because it's just one of those. I want one. So we're gonna look at it.
Yep.
We're gonna move over to New Mexico, where a woman was finally arrested. Let's see, a 28-year-old woman allegedly not only called her ex-lover, how many times in a week do you reckon she called
77,
him? You're supposed to guess,
7,700, 600.
You're supposed to guess. You're not supposed to read it. You're supposed to guess.
For the edification of the crowd, I guessed it was in the four digits, because that seemed reasonable to me that a human being could do.
Yeah. This person is apparently not human, because she managed a formidable 77,639 times in a week. Oh, but wait, there's more. If you act now, she'll also send you 1,937 emails, 41,229 text messages, and she'll sing you 217 messages, and somehow find the time to also pen 647 letters, like post office letters.
Gentlemen, line up and take a number.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or ladies, if that's your thing.
Wow.
She could probably get paid for that. She could go into mass mailings and mass callings for companies. And
yeah, but I don't know if they could feed her obsession quite as well as this poor soul that, well, smartly broke up with her. My client is profoundly relieved that Miss Murphy is finally behind bars, stated the plaintiff's lawyer. He hasn't been able to sleep, work, or enjoy life in any way for more than a week. He was having a hard time thinking clearly and was nearing depression. It was about time the harassment ceased. Now all we want for Miss Murphy to get medical help that she needs, and for the law to keep her away from my client.
Okay, hang on. One thing, briefly. Nearing depression? What is this guy, the Buddha?
Well,
seriously, I'd be ready to scoop my eyes out with a melon baller.
Well, I have a question. In this day of technology, if he has, I mean, does he have a landline or does he have a cell phone? If he has both.
Let's see. She is accused of using up to 3 phones at once to call him 24 hours a day on his cell phone, home number, and work number.
Okay.
The work number, I understand, is difficult to stop. But cell phone, you can turn off.
The woman ingested large quantities of energy drinks and amphetamines to remain awake. And she went sleepless for the entire week.
Well, that explains everything. She's on meth.
She basically had to be.
But, no, I mean, we're talking 8 calls a minute. How do you find time to do anything else?
She didn't.
Apparently.
Other than somehow. She didn't. I guess she was calling, and while she was leaving that message, she was also texting him at the same time. Probably most often that was how it was going, because otherwise you'd 41,229 text messages.
That's a lot, too. I mean, that's
Now, here's the thing.
That's probably around 3 to 4 a minute.
What if they didn't have unlimited messaging on their plans?
Oof.
Oh, just, damn. Oof. That's just, oh.
Well,
I
good
don't
thing
even
is,
think about
and,
it.
And being in the industry now, I can say this, pretty much every plan nowadays has unlimited text messaging.
And there are a good thing there's too. Still a lot of people that don't, and I really hope that these two aren't them. But, I mean, okay, so she's 28 years old and didn't take the breakup very well. Apparently she has a history of obsessive compulsive behavior.
You think?
She, yeah. Oh, wow, wait. Okay. How long Don't look at the thing. How long do you think she was in a relationship with William Ryans, the man of her desires? How long do you think she was just in a wonderful, rapturous relationship with him that he apparently ran screaming
from? Say,
let's
say he took the 3-week exit.
The 3-week exit?
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 weeks.
Yep.
Wow.
Knew it.
He read it.
3 weeks.
No, I didn't. That. I swear, I didn't read it.
3 weeks is
liar.
All it took.
No, it's a thing from Barney Stinson.
It's a thing.
Three-week exit.
Really?
Know? Whenever you get into a relationship, there's a certain number of exits.
Wow.
Yeah, I figured less than a month. Yeah.
I feel bad for her, man. She's not ugly or anything.
No. Deceivingly so.
She needs to.
The inside of her is a little bit ugly, but no, the outside's okay. But that's just, yeah, it might. I'm surprised it took 3 weeks with that kind of obsessive behavior.
Yeah, here, I'm gonna post the whole thing for you to read, so you know where I got my 3 weeks exit thing.
Oh dear.
There. Yeah, the freeway theory.
You put it somewhere, and I'm not even looking.
I mean, have
I
you
put
ever,
it in Google Chat.
Okay. Oh, Urban Dictionary.
Have you ever,
okay.
Yeah. You ever been with somebody that not obsessed about, but like you like them more than they like you? You ever had that before?
Those are the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have to break up with someone because they were institutionalized once.
Hmm.
Okay.
That was my first girlfriend. So
you told me this story.
That was awkward. That was really awkward. Thankfully, though, she didn't really call me back after that. I'm not sure if it was simply because she wasn't allowed to have a phone or not. Okay, so the freeway theory, formulated by Barney Stinson of How I Met Your Mother, detailing how relationships are like freeways and that there are exits that can be taken to get out of them. 6 hours, a.k.a. the one-night stand, 4 days, 3 weeks, 7 months, not all together, by the way, 18 months, 18 years, and a death. So, as Robin would put later, if one person says, I love you, then the relationship moves into the carpool lane where there's a big diamond. that's funny.
Yeah.
Robin says,
funny.
I usually don't get this far in a relationship. I usually take the 3-week exit. Lily says, don't tell me you're actually buying into Barney's freeway theory.
It makes a lot of sense. When I look back at, well, not only the relationships I've had, but the relationships I've seen in other people, a lot of them follow this pattern, at least up until the 7 months line.
I think there's another one, though. There ought to be, like, the 7-year itch, because that is a thing.
That is definitely a thing as well.
Yeah. I think it may have now been extended to maybe 10 years, but maybe I'm speaking from personal experience. Anyway. So, moving on from that crazy, let's see. Oh, no, where
that's
are my show
weird.
Notes?
I was married for 10 years, and that's when I got my divorce.
10 years? Oh, there you go.
We were together longer than that, though, so.
See, I was at 3 years, around 3 years, so.
I was with the guy since I was 17, and then.
Oh, well, there's your problem.
For 10 years, yeah, I know.
I was going to say, then you're closer to that 18. You're getting up there.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Mine was actually around 7 together and 3 married. So that was a 7-year itch, I guess.
So, hey, let's talk about Mama Tits.
How's that
for a segue? It's not a segue at all. It's terrible.
It's a non sequitur is what that is.
Exactly. Well, we're talking about interesting people. So back out in Seattle, where, you know, the left coast, as it were, has a pretty good proportion of gay-friendly activists and those that are, LGBT-friendly and of that sect. So, in a pride parade in Seattle, there were a bunch of religious protesters, you know, just big, big gay protesters with big signs and shirts, you know, Leviticus, blah, whatever, Philippians 2:11. And then there's Mama Tits.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mama Tits, just to give you an idea, is probably 240 pounds, 6'3", fairly heavy set, and wearing heels. Also wearing bright blue everything with a giant blue wig.
Yeah, you can't miss her.
Mama Tits is standing about a foot taller than most of these protesters. And let's see, she gave a Seattle Gay Scene, one of the magazines out there, a breakdown of the confrontation. I saw them coming up the road pre-parade and looked at Sylvia and Donatella and said, ladies, let's make a wall. Before I knew it, I was standing tits to nose with the leader guy on the megaphone. I felt like I had the strength of all the people who had ever been hurt by these people standing right behind me, giving me the power. I was almost in autopilot mode from my days as a sister of perpetual indulgence. I planted myself in his path and wouldn't move. When he walked around me, I got back in front of him again and again. I stared him in the eyes, and I could see the pain in his eyes. I could see he was scared, and he should have been. He tried to hit me with his sign, but like Bianca Del Rio says, not today, Satan. I pushed his sign away from my face and hair because you do not touch my hair. And it was all I could do to not get violent. But I didn't, because once that happens, we all lose. So, it's really just a beautiful thing. let me see. Actually, there's even video, but yeah, I'll play a little bit.
Teachings of this book that they used to hate, they themselves are sinners. They are wearing cotton poly blend. That is an abomination. Have you ever, did you kill your daughters if they have sex out of wedlock? Do you sleep with your wife if she happens to have that type of a month? You're not even allowed to share the bed with her. Should we stone you for that? Why don't you read your own book and teachings to the letter of God.
I think that's enough of Mama Tits. So, yeah.
Yes, love it.
It definitely deserves the slow clap. She got in their faces, and, well, they can't handle that. Oh, no.
Mm-mm. They can't. You can't confront them with their own hypocrisy, no.
No, no. It comes from a very specific selective reading of certain passages.
That's all it is. It's selective reading
and confirming their own biases.
Well, yeah, they take what they want and they ignore everything else. I mean, I've read the damn thing. It's fucking complicated, and there's a whole lot that you have to throw out because, well, for one, it's just evil.
A lot of
and
it is,
two. Yeah. And two, you know, there are parts where God said, okay, for all of these rules that we used to have, we're tossing those out, you know. So not only are they not following the word of God, but they're not following the word of God twice. Womp womp.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so much, so much. So there's a couple other things, since we're in the religion portion, whether we like it or not. There was a Florida judge, back in Florida now, who ran her ministry from the courthouse.
Pretty sure you're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to do that.
Pretty sure that's not allowed. Crazy bitch.
This is bad, yeah. So Judith Hawkins, county judge in Tallahassee, so right there in the state capitol, she really just didn't care a whole lot about the law.
Apparently not.
She's the founder of Gaza Road Ministries, and she ran the company from the Leon County Courthouse. She also attempted to sell her ministry's books to lawyers appearing in front of her. And then it gets worse. Judicial Qualifications Commission's hearing panel, Chair James A. Ruth wrote, Hawkins was guilty of deleting subpoenaed financial records for her ministry, misleading investigators during depositions, and refusing to turn over material without an official order. And and also guilty of posting images of her wearing judicial robes on her ministry's website, failing to comply with tax law, reading magazines during court proceedings, and using less than her full time for judicial duties. So basically not doing her damn job and completely moonlighting on the company on the government's time.
Yeah. You know, not, but it's at this point, you're not, it's not just that you're not doing your job. It's that you are, you're doing a different job on when you're supposed to be doing your job, and one that's not allowed on government property like that. It's just, we're talking, you know, we're talking about hypocrisy. There you go.
Oh, she also had her JA, the judicial assistant, helping her run the ministry and never reported that to the tax authorities. On November 10th, 2011, during a hearing in open court, an attorney appeared before Judge Hawkins, mentioned, "Judge, I hear you have a new book out," and requested an autographed copy. He heard about the book from one of the bailiffs. The judge, who was still on the bench, requested $15, told the attorney to pay her personally, and said, "I'll take it right now." The attorney offered, and Judge Hawkins accepted an additional $5 more for her autograph. Judge Hawkins thanked the lawyer, said, "I like your spirit," and asked him to spread it amongst the others because these work for the state. I'm going to let you take the private bar crowd. So, just, yeah, wow. It's like, yeah, you go talk to all the other, oh, jeez. It's so amazingly irresponsible. I get flustered. Yeah. Yesterday, this was a few days ago, but the Florida Supreme Court decided that Hawkins could no longer be a judge.
Womp, womp.
And, suspended for 90 days, fined $17,000. Supreme Court could now go even further if Hawkins doesn't give them a good reason to reconsider. I wonder what the reason could be.
I can't wait to hear what that excuse is.
What good reason could it be? She can't come up with one. Not a good one.
Because there isn't one.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Are we in favor of the separation of church and state here?
I think I've gone record on this issue several times in saying, fuck yes,
yeah.
Get your religion out of my politics.
Yeah, the two things, there's supposed to be two things, not one thing.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. Take a look at any fundamentalist country in the world and you'll see why. There's a reason those places are shitholes.
Yeah. I'm not sure if even that's the reason why they're shitholes, but it certainly it doesn't help.
Correlation may not equal causation in this case, but there's definitely something going on.
Yeah. Well, if we take Iran and Afghanistan, for instance, back in the 60s and 70s, they did not have Sharia law. They were actually basically democratic republics. And women were in colleges and, you know, getting educations and not wearing burqas and headscarves all the time. They were actually – it was indistinguishable from, like, Manhattan, I mean, at the time. And then as soon as the Shah came in and started implementing all the Sharia law, oh, look, now little children get shot at when they're trying to go to school.
Yeah, now they're a third world country.
That's
and
great.
People and it's like do and this is, you know, I pick on the conservatives a lot. I know I do. I love to do it. But this is not just picking on them. There's a logical critique here. Did y'all never develop pattern recognition? Because we can look at these countries and see what happened to them, and now we can see what you conservative assholes are trying to do to America.
I think they have.
Then where is America going to be in 50 years?
Yeah, I think they have overactive pattern recognition, which is called pareidolia, and they see things that aren't there.
Yes, they see things that do not exist. Indeed,
it's just taking it to the extreme.
Yeah.
So that was Florida judges. Let's see. Since we're talking about that. Oh, yes. Again, more religion and politics. There's another douchebag. His name is David Barton. And for some reason, he thinks that the Bible is a wonderful excuse to prevent women from voting. It's an amazing thing. I mean, okay. Ratified in 1920, the 19th Amendment of the Constitution says, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex." Okay? That's in the Constitution now. We have learned a thing or two. But he thinks differently. So he says, family government precedes civil government, and you watch that as colonists came to America. They voted by families. And you have to remember back then, husband and wife, I mean, the two were considered one. That is the biblical precept. That is a family. That is voting. And so the head of the family is traditionally considered to be the husband, and even biblically still continues to be so. So I don't even know what to say about that.
Here's the thing. Okay, first of all, I'm going to give you the award for most ridiculous thing I've heard all day, because you want to set the women's movement back 100 years, damn near. So
it's getting there.
So
yeah.
Applause for that. That's a ballsy move. Here's my problem with this. These people who are obsessed with the concept of tradition and what was done 100 years ago or 200 years ago, whatever, is what we should be doing now. 200 years ago, we didn't have running water because, when the Roman Empire fell, you destroyed all the aqueducts. So 200 years ago, people were dying of horrible diseases left and right, and most babies did not grow up because you woke up one morning and your child was dead. Life expectancies were in the toilet. Living conditions and working conditions were atrocious. And you want to go back to that? So at this if this is what you think, if you think the traditional way of life is so great, go live with the Amish. I guarantee you they'll fucking kick you out because they're not going to put up with your bullshit.
You're not Amish enough. You got to get out of here.
Exactly. They're not going to put up with your bullshit.
With Right Wing Watch, one of my absolute favorite websites ever, has some audio clip of him basically burying himself. Here it is.
The family was the first and the fundamental unit of all government. Well, actually, you have individual self-government first, then you have family government second, you have civil government third, you have church government fourth. Those are the four levels of government in the order they are given in the Bible. So family government precedes civil government. And you watch that as colonists came to America, they voted by families. You look at the Pilgrims. When they finally moved away from socialism and moved toward that free enterprise system, they called the families together and gave families plots of land, private property given to the families. And so that's the way things work. And you have to remember back then, husband and wife, I mean, the two were considered one. That is the biblical precept. That's the way they looked at them in the civil community. That is a family that is voting. And so the head of the family was traditionally considered to be the husband, and even biblically still continues to be so. Now, as we've moved more away from the family unit, you need to be independent from family, and don't be chained down and be a mother, and don't be chained down and be a father, and don't be chained down to your parents. And, you know, we've moved into more of a family anarchy kind of thing, the modern family kind of portrayal. That understanding has gone away. But, I mean, clearly, what Britain has asked is a brilliant question, because it does reveal that the bigotry we're told that they held back then, they didn't hold. And what they did was they put the family unit higher than the government unit, and they tried to work hard to keep the family together. And as we can show in 200 or 300 studies since then, the more you weaken the family, the more it hurts the entire culture and society. So they had a strong culture, strong society, and it was based on a strong family that preceded government, and they crafted their policies to protect a strong family.
Okay, first off, cite your fucking sources, because I don't know about no fucking studies that you're talking about.
Oh, well, there's 200 or 300 of them.
Well, yeah, but which ones? Where? Cite your sources. You don't cite your sources, you're bullshit. Second of all, and here's the part I love. He goes, personal government, family government, civil government, church government. So apparently if family government is higher than civil government, and then personal government must be higher than family government. But also, all of these must be higher than God. Isn't that the exact opposite of everything that religion teaches us? Isn't God and the church supposed to be the highest authority? What the fuck are you smoking, douchebag? Again, you don't make sense according to your own fucking codes.
No.
That's why I can't take you seriously. As devoted as I am to the concept of a higher power, you're fucking insane if you think that you can play the God card to justify anything, to justify two things that are counter to each other.
I think he was talking that it was the other way around. That's the way I heard it. But on top of that, he was talking about, I thought he was saying the church was on top of everybody, which is whatever. That's his own thing. He was also saying that the family was one unit. No, the property back then was given to the men. Mm-hmm. The women weren't allowed to own property.
It wasn't
as a family.
Husband died, the wife didn't take control.
No, there's so many things wrong with what he was saying.
So, like, if you're a single mom.
Well, obviously,
if there's not a father to be the head of the household, it doesn't count as a real household.
That's
apparently.
Right. That's right, because obviously you're in league with Satan.
Clearly.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there was plenty. The Puritans were like, I believe they were like that. I need to go back and cite this.
No, you're right. Yeah, the Puritans were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of the places where this country's religion started were the man has the control of everything, and that's the reason why he voted, and that's the reason why women didn't vote, is because they thought that they were not more property than people.
That's why we changed that with the suffrage movement in the
1920s. Exactly. We've learned, or some people have learned in the past 100 years.
Yeah. But this way, sane people have learned.
Well, what we can't call him insane because he's not. No. This, if we really dissect it, is a very clever way of getting a point across that, no, you have to have the nuclear family kind of thing. And we're not going to completely ostracize women as not being a part of the family, because they're obviously very important to the family because they make that family one. You see how he's trying to incorporate that? So he's not completely disparaging women's rights, but he's saying that your rights are attached to the family.
Yeah.
Because that's the only place that you can get value, obviously.
Yeah. A woman's only value is as a mother pumping out babies.
Right.
That's important to him.
Exactly.
He needs the mama tits to go there and tell him.
Yes. Mama tits needs to go rage on him. Mm-hmm.
she will wreck his day.
Oh, she might become a regular thing on this show. Need to go... Go sick mama tits on him. That's going to be great.
Yup. Let's do it. I bet you she'd do it, too.
So there's a... I think we've probably...
I mean, who is this guy? Who really cares about him? He's a freaking nut job.
Yeah, but he's trying to convince people to follow him and agree with him and vote like him, and that's a problem.
So there's freaking people that are into Hitler and still want to go
and
that
that's a here's problem.
Here's who David Barden is. He's an author. He is an American evangelical Christian minister. He's a conservative activist and founder of Wall Builders. Now, it's a rather ironic title, since Wall Builders is all about bringing down the separation of church and state. It's to tear down the wall of separation. He is a very, very Republican. He graduated from Oral Roberts University.
Where?
Oral Roberts, which is that one of those Christian universities.
Oh, it's not a real school. Doesn't count.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't fucking count.
Well, you know, Bob,
I went to a Christian university. What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say it doesn't count because their curriculum is based on the Bible. The Bible completely disavows science and logic and reason and all of the progress that we've made in the last 2,000 years since the goddamn thing was penned. So no, your school doesn't fucking count.
What was your school?
Well, Palm Beach Atlantic University.
I've never heard of that, actually.
See, there's a difference. The Oral Roberts University is completely...
It's not accredited.
No, it is actually accredited. That's one of the crazy
things. Yeah, but I have a feeling it's a lot. You went.
Then it does count if it's accredited.
People can push all kinds of bullshit through the government by paying the right money to the right people. That doesn't make it just. That doesn't make it right.
Oral Roberts University was established in 1965. It is a private college. It has a $37.8 million endowment, 3,335 students, lots of undergraduates, et cetera, located in beautiful Tulsa, Oklahoma.
If I wanted to go get a job and I needed to have a degree and I got my degree from a Christian university, it doesn't count, I guess. Is that what you're saying?
I certainly know that a lot of employers that I've worked for wouldn't take you.
It depends on the accreditation. It really does. Yeah. Because there's also my soon-to-be ex-wife got her degree at Florida Metropolitan University, FMU, which – turns out none of their credits would actually transfer to, say, UCF at all. Not a single one. Maybe like English, but not at full. Like she'd still have to test in. So even though she got a degree, an associate's degree there, it would not count towards a state college degree. So when we're talking accreditation, no, it really does matter. Now, she has a degree, and she can certainly put that on her resume, and then it matters. It goes.
It depends on the employer.
Well, it depends on whether or not the employer does background checks or whether or not they're just looking to see whether or not you're in the I have a degree club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is that.
And there's a lot of them that just do that.
And there's different levels of schools as well.
The
Palm Beach Atlantic seems to be more of a balanced than actual school, where when you hear Oral Roberts University, it seems a little bit more one-sided.
It is predominantly that way. But, you know, there's also religious schools like Bob Jones University or BJU, which is always fun to say, considering it's a Christian college, of course. But they also have a lot of really great science programs, and there's some research, really good, solid research actually coming out of there, which I've found just shocking. But yeah, it's
mind-boggling.
But it's true. So just because it is a Christian college or a Christian-affiliated college does not mean that they're not doing good work. It does not mean that they're not educating people. But they certainly come out with a Leaning Tower of Pisa approach to certain things.
You got an uphill battle. For at least in my experience, most of the academic community, you got an uphill battle.
Academics plus religion are typically not great bedfellows.
They're not. They don't really go.
So if you're trying to go with like a very serious engineering kind of degree or something like that, and then trying to even get past the interview process.
They're going to laugh you out the door.
The other people might say, BJU? Oral Roberts University? Really? What can you do? You know,
we're not going to hire you. We just wanted to come in and ask you why you even thought this was going to work.
we're just kind of more curious about what you did learn. You know. So we're not just to be clear, we're not particularly degrading the quality of the university education. We're simply putting it in context that it may not be as peer-reviewed as all the
context
others.
Context is important.
Yeah. So it'd be like, hey, I got a degree from Florida State, or I got a degree from Yale or Harvard.
Yeah, there's a big difference there.
Or MIT. You know, I mean, there's the big names and there's the little names. And then there's the names that you never hear about, but you have to just assume that it's real because they have a website and people that will answer the phone. Like FMU. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that, oh, by the way, they're not there anymore. Now they're a different university. So even if someone was to call on the degree, there would be no one to answer the phone. But she's still paying on the student loans. So I don't know. Yeah. So that's always fun. So yeah, always check your accreditation and see whether or not those credits will transfer to a bigger university, state run.
Yes. The name matters, people.
Yeah. It does. It genuinely does. But if you've not had any problems, then their accreditation probably stands and you don't have any issues, and I wouldn't go looking for trouble. So let her ride.
I've never had any problems with it. People kind of look up to that school. Yeah, it's not that they...
What are they known for?
Classes. They have biblical classes and stuff like that, but it's not in all of the programs.
I actually heard it. I was from down there, but yeah, it's actually more of a known school.
It's like you can talk about the Bible there. They don't like restrict it from the classroom.
Oh no,
you can't try to tell people they can't talk about it or talk about God there. But I think what you have is a lot of people just putting it into one perspective that they think that it's a certain way and it's not. So that's how I was. So I understand where you're coming from, where you would think that it would be a college that would be scary.
No, actually I've never heard of it. I have no idea about it at all.
Really?
No, I've never heard
it's
of it.
It's kind of big down West Palm Beach.
What are they known for? Do they have a big program? I mean, like UCF isn't really known for anything in particular either.
But it's well-rounded enough that people have heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably because that it's not up in this area up here. I mean, there is one. There's an Orlando campus, but it's not.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
so they are multi-regional. Okay, so that's a big improvement. So they probably have full accreditation and can, and their credits may very well be taken at different universities. That's my litmus test. If you can transfer all those credits over and then continue your education at basically any other school, you're cool.
Well,
but if it only goes one way.
The deal is too with them is they have their newest program was the doctorate of pharmacy. And,
oh, cool. Okay.
That was a hard program to get into, but they started doing
a lot of money
in
drugs,
pharmacy, and
a lot of money in drugs, legal or otherwise.
Science and I'm just looking it up. A Master of Science in Counseling Psychology, Business Administration MBAs.
Okay.
They do have Divinity one.
Sure, a lot of universities do, even if they're not Christian accredited or anything like that.
Bachelor of Science in Organizational Management.
You have to take science classes, and they don't.
Yeah, psychology and
tell you what you can and can't believe. You know,
this is a weird one. Associates of Arts to Master of Science in Leadership.
What?
Yeah, I don't get that one.
Is that like an advanced liberal arts degree? I guess
it sounds like it.
That's yeah, it's
kind of
okay. So that sounds like, well, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I got into college,
I just figured out what that is.
And then I wanted to get a master's in it.
No, I figured out what this is.
Okay.
Communications.
Nah, I'm a communications major. But I'm going to call it something awesome.
They made it, they put science in the communications.
Nice.
they changed the name.
Wow. That's pretty typical.
Master of Science in Leadership. That's communications.
That's pretty typical.
You become the boss.
Wow. Nicely done.
I think what it is it's going from getting your associates right into your masters, I think. That's what they're talking about, I guess.
I don't know. I'm just distracted.
So, are there still children about you? Because you just had
not anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
Then we can speak freely about things that come from Cosmopolitan magazine.
Oh, Cosmo. When I was still at Walmart, I used to flip through the articles on lunch just because there were hilarious things in there. Just total gems.
Well, this is certainly a gem. Cannabis lube will get your vagina high. Just let that sink in.
Because you'll have to.
Apparently you have to, yeah. This lubricant was revealed earlier this week by creator Matthew Gerson, and a small bottle will run about $88, and according to Gerson, it's worth it. The lube contains medical marijuana that is blended with MCT or coconut oil, great for staving off yeast infections, to create a viscous, slippery, toy-safe, and vagina-safe product. These are things I didn't think I was going to say today.
I want to laugh at the absurdity of it all, but I remember seeing on one of those shows like CSI or something like that, how some dude, OD'd on coke because okay, this is how the episode went. Now I'm thinking about it. Now I remember.
Okay.
He had a hooker giving him a blowjob, and he coated his dick with coke so that when it got wet, it soaked into the skin of his penis, and he OD'd and died. And this was based on a real thing, and I had to go look it up, and there was an actual case of somebody doing this to get high faster, and it killed him. So apparently, these sensitive areas can absorb these things. Without precedent.
Well, yes, quite readily. There's many absorptive tissues in the body. The effect of this particular lubricant will vary for each person. And the substance hasn't been standardized. Shocking. So how individuals respond to the oil will likely have to do with how they respond to marijuana in general. So it'll be a nice de-stressing feeling, you know, while you're diddling yourself.
It sounds awesome. As the article puts it.
That sounds awesome. Who doesn't want to de-stress? Wow. So, hi, I'm a guy. Hey, Ann, what do you think about this?
I don't know. That's kind of weird. It's like, why don't you just? It's like when you have your foot asleep or something. It's
the tingling sensation means it's working. Oh wait, that was Head and Shoulders, or was it Selsun Blue? I don't even remember anymore.
Selsun Blue.
Yeah,
I guess I used that shit. Goes through your whole body.
I guess. Well. Eventually, because of blood.
Yeah,
but
because of that blood thing.
But apparently, your vagina is going to get high first.
But will it come with a packet of Cheetos?
I mean, don't know.
Is it going to
$30? It better.
Is it going to make your vagina hungry? I don't know.
I mean, you can do that for less than $88, though. I mean,
well, I don't think you're supposed to use the whole bottle.
I would hope not.
I mean, now, of course, the bottle that they're showing on this website, of course, show notes will have the link. But it's a little spritzing bottle, 30 milliliters, 1 ounce. This is. it's not unheard of for perfume, for instance, to be at this kind of price level. This is actually kind of moderate for some perfumes.
Yeah.
But of course, this is not a perfume. No, this is medical grade marijuana in aerosol form. So let's see, coconut oil. Yeah, I know people that will do that whole, I can't even remember what it is because it was so ludicrous. Oil pulling with coconut oil. You know, where they'll swish around, an amount of oil in their mouth for like 45 minutes or something like that. Imagine, I'm going to get high. I had breath spray. Yeah, just a little bit of that. And, I'll just down here too. Just amazing. Amazing. I don't even. Only in Colorado?
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, only in Colorado? Yeah. I don't know. Are these the kind of wonderful products that we're going to see come with the liberation of marijuana to the public?
You know what? Whatever makes you happy, man. Just
it's going to make somebody happy.
Yeah, this is Darwinism in effect. This is going to turn into Darwinism.
I seriously doubt that you can, even with this new direct form of injection, that you can get that much of the active ingredient, whatever it's fucking called, into your system that can damage you.
Oh, THC. Just wait. Yeah.
I've seen the math on this, and it's a truly absurd amount of this stuff that you have to get into you.
The fatal
before it will start to harm you. I mean,
and we talked about it on a previous show when somebody I don't think they died, but they got seriously sick from eating laced gummy bears.
Yeah. Well, no, I think they did die, but it was because of medical other drug interactions.
That's the other thing.
So that they downed like an entire package of THC gummy bears and also did this and also did that, and then that made them hungry, so then they ate that.
Died. Well, no wonder.
Yeah,
and that's gonna happen with this.
Right.
Don't mix your meds, kids.
Yeah, it definitely comes back to that. Don't mix the meds. Even if they do give you that wonderful tingling sensation.
That tingling sensation might mean it's working, or it might mean you're about to die.
That's right. Just ask Mama Tits for details. So,
she's the answer to everything.
She's going to be the answer to everything. Okay, so we got a couple other stories, and they're really, really down notes. I mean, really down notes. In Paris, a mother of a pupil at a French preschool stabbed the teacher to death in front of the entire class.
Oh.
Including her own daughter, who was 5. So this is like kindergarten. Well, preschool. So So right there, like the VPK age, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
That's going to live with them for a long time.
It was also...
Congratulations on putting those kids into therapy.
It was also the happiest school day of the year. The last day of school.
Yeah.
Because
kids won't want to go back.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, yeah. So there's going to be some therapy involved here. Apparently the child has been removed to protective custody. Of course, the mother has also been remained to custody. No one really knows what the hell is going on. There was a history of mental illness. I just figured this story came out today, so you're going to be seeing a lot of it. And it's horrible.
Well, we might, but it's in France, and we know America doesn't care about other countries.
Well, it made it on all the American news sources, so that's where I was catching
it. That's kind of surprising, honestly.
Well, I think it's because of all the school violence and shootings that we have here in America that
this is a Fox News link, isn't it?
It was Fox News to Associated Press.
Yeah, they're gonna ride that gravy train as far as they fucking can. Assholes.
Amazingly enough, at least in this article, they did not editorialize. They basically just cut and pasted from AP.
Amazing.
That's good.
Yeah. And,
well, it is what it is. It's a set story. They're not going to do too much. They can't do too much without showing their
And they will, though.
True colors.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah. They don't give a shit. Are you kidding me?
They'll bust out on The View with something, you know, how horrible it is, or, you know, any one of the pundits is going to jump in and say, see, what we need is teachers with more knives. You know,
or madness.
Yeah.
You know?
No, this wouldn't happen if that teacher was armed.
That they're working for. They're building up to a special.
Yeah, they probably would be. Yeah, this is just one more nail in some coffin that they're building.
Yeah.
But it's really sad, and I being a parent, I can't even imagine what this would do to the mentality of very, very impressionable people to see someone that they've spent an entire school year with that they probably, you know, have really formed a good solid bond to be brutally murdered by one of their classmates' mothers in front of them. That's just really...
What do you say to something like that? What's her defense? I would love to hear that madness.
I don't think
you might hear.
Even if there was a defense, I don't think it was a good one.
Yeah.
Other than mental illness.
How did it get to that level? You know, that somebody would want to kill somebody like that.
And also, the teacher had two small daughters, as well. So. Oh, it's horrible. It's happened on Friday. Children were immediately taken to another teacher, brought to a classroom, talked to them, tell them stories, try and break them away from what they just lived through.
That's just...
A member of the Regional Health and Safety Committee for the Educational Ministry said the mother thought the teacher had called her daughter a thief, and that misconception might have played a role in the attack. So this might be the grand mal seizure of all, you know, super soccer mom kind of rage. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you told me, you said something bad about my child, I'm going to kill you. Oh, wait, you really did. That's not good at all. So there's that. I don't really want to talk any more about that because that's just super depressing. No. But there's other things that are slightly depressing. Actually, they're just kind of disgusting. But it's one of those things that I want to talk about it only to raise awareness that this is a thing. There's a procedure, a medical procedure known as a I just had the actual pronunciation guide.
Symphysiotomy.
Thank you.
Symphysiotomy.
It is essentially the surgical division of the pubic symphysis. Especially to permit the passage of a fetus during delivery, also called a pelvitotomy. Essentially what it does is it bisects the pelvis and then they break it. Often done at the time of delivery with little to no further anesthesia. It's an interesting story that popped up from survivors of this. And I say survivors because they felt like they were being butchered literally on the table. It's hard to read. It's hard to even contemplate why this would happen. Let's see. Former master explains the technique. The upper and interior portions of the symphysis, are severed together with part of the aricate ligament, leaving the last fibers to be gently torn by the slow abduction or splaying of the legs. By further abduction of the legs, the separation of the pubic bones to the desired extent is brought about. One of the women, Philomena, said, I just remember being brought into the theater and being placed, and the place was packed with people. I wasn't told what was happening. I was screaming and being restrained. I couldn't see much except for them sawing. It was excruciating pain. I was just 27, and I was butchered. It's just really ridiculous. Let's see. There was... There's another woman named Ursula. They put a needle in my arm to induce me, but it didn't work. Dr. Finney came in. He took off his beige leather gloves and coat. He was after being at Mass and said, "I'm going to do a little thing for you. The most I thought I could have was a cesarean session. I woke up at 2:30. "Where's the baby?" I said. "Your pelvis bone was split," the nurse said, "and you're only going into strong labor." Finney was very abrupt. "You can have 10 children, all normal," he said. "Who wants 10 children?" I said. "They did it without my permission. I was cut from the navel down." Finney brought in a Canadian doctor to have a look at me. "Look how well she's doing," he said. "I've lost the use of my legs," I said. So basically, one of the things that they went into was that this procedure was to make the pelvic bone more passable, so that way the woman would be able to bear more children. If they did a cesarean section, the common limit is you were only going to really say that you can have 3 kids that way. And then you've just, you've generated too much scar tissue, et cetera, and it's no longer good for you. But this way, you can have them all naturally. So this is specifically a procedure that's designed for those that want to have the quiverful kind of families, where you can have as many children as you want because they can all just basically pass really easily. But this procedure has horrible ramifications for the one that's on the receiving end of all of it.
Especially if it's unapproved, if it's not
right, if
it wasn't asked for ahead of time, and
right,
any doctor who would do this, I want to say consent or no, but you know what? Ultimately, consent is the ultimate thing here. Any doctor who would do this without consent should have it done to them. and then have their license removed forever. You never practice medicine again because, like you said, you are a butcher. And the only reason I say you shouldn't be put down is because none of these women have died yet.
Yeah,
and I say
well,
yet.
That we did this back into the 20s, so there probably was some deaths.
Well, that we know of. So as soon as we find a recorded case of death, yeah, I would say execute them all. Because I'm that kind of guy. I very much agree with the Hammurabi, eye for an eye.
I was screaming, "It's not working," the anesthetic. I said, "I can feel everything." I saw him go and take out a proper hacksaw, like a wood saw, and a half circle with a straight blade and a handle. The blood shot up to the ceiling, up to the glasses, up onto his glasses, and all over the nurses. I mean, this is horror show kind of stuff, and it's not even happening that long ago. It's an interesting article, a fascinating read of just the things that have been done. In particular, this procedure is barbaric and cruel, and hopefully you're not going to have a doctor that is that way, and you're going to stay as far away from them as possible. But there's a 50-page document with some 300 survivors' accounts. Now, their phrasing there is suggestive.
Yeah.
300
survivors' accounts.
Yeah. Obviously, this could have tremendous blood loss, hemorrhagic seizures.
It sure sounds like they're cutting into major arteries, which means hemorrhagic shock.
Yeah. It involves breaking the patient's pelvis and leaving it permanently enlarged. I mean, it's just, yeah.
It's monstrous.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
There's a last quote that says that somebody grew up on one of these people grew up on a farm. I think they're talking that that vets wouldn't treat animals like this.
Wow.
You wouldn't do this to an animal. Yeah. Why would you do it to a human being?
Yeah, so, there was one
because
telling.
You're a monster.
Now, I don't intentionally bring it back to religion, but it is a source. Okay. Dr. Valera said, I'd like it, the baby to come out naturally. D. Valera, not doctor. I was almost a week at home. I was small and the baby was getting bigger and bigger. I went in again. They induced me. I normally do a cesarean section, but because you are such a good Catholic, I'll do a syphilotomy. You're a Catholic family. You'd be expected to have at least 10. If you have a cesarean, you can only have 3. And as a Catholic, you need to go through the pains of childbirth. If you have a cesarean, you wouldn't. The baby is as big as yourself. Why do small women marry big men? I'll have to stretch your hips and straighten your pelvis. I'd have no idea. I had no idea what a syphilotomy was. So this is one of the wonderful problems that we have with certain medical procedures, is that they have big, long names that nobody understands, and a lot of people never go in. They kind of almost hide behind that in many ways. This is just an irresponsible, kind of inhumane procedure that never should have been contemplated. The fact that this particular case, it was used because of religion as an option. It makes me want to throw up.
It makes me want to throw up and then go rip that guy's throat out. And I'm the religious one here. I'm the one who believes in a higher power. I'm sorry. I don't care what you claim God says. There is no way that God wants you to mutilate yourself for the sake of bringing a couple more children in this world. There's no fucking way. I don't believe that any God out there would demand that of you. So do not ever let this happen to you.
No. Always be informed with what's going to happen to you. I mean, there are cases of emergency, and I certainly hope that you will have somebody there that is present that will have medical power of attorney so that they can make these choices if you are incapacitated to do so.
And at least now medical information has become a lot more available.
There's a difference between trying to be your own doctor. You know, with all the medical science that is out there, people need to be able to trust their doctors. To be able to trust them when they say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Yes, it's dangerous, but we think it's necessary. But on the flip side of that, you need to be aware when someone is bullshitting you. You need to be aware when someone is pulling the wool over your eyes because of some fucked up conviction they have.
Yeah.
Or at very least, because they might be making a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is obviously a mistake for these people. This is not what they wanted. You know, and there's a lot of them. It's just horrible. You know, they have debilitating effects. I can't feel my legs. Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah.
Well, and that's partly because the doctors probably also didn't do it properly or didn't have the right techniques or anything. They just did it too. I mean, there's a lot of that history.
There's so much vital stuff down there. You can't go cutting and expect nothing to happen.
Yeah, and of course, there's the time sensitive pressure, you know, of it's a birth and you've got a child in there that you also have to bring out alive. There's a lot of factors involved there, and it's a very high stress situation, and all you're doing is mutilating someone on the table. It's ridiculous. I was in my profession, I talked to a lot of doctors and a lot of nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and things like that. And at one of the locations I was at, I will remain, let it be undisclosed, and all the participants of the conversation also undisclosed. But he was an older PA, and he was quite the storyteller. So just being in his presence, you got to hear an awful lot of how things used to be and how things are now and how things are horrible now and a lot of this and that and everything else. And he was saying specifically about how now patients come in and they've got all the highfalutin internet behind them, and they come in and they question doctors. Back in my day, that's how the story actually started. You just trusted your doctor. You went to them and that was what they said was law. You didn't question them. maybe they should have.
Yeah, this is someone who has your life in their hands. You should question them. You should be careful about your research. You should be informed. You should ask intelligent questions. Mm-hmm. And if the doctor can justify himself, you should then trust him.
Yeah.
I plugged House last week, and a lot of the conflict in House comes from, you know, patients trying to be their own doctor, and they make a lot of good points of this kind of attitude gets people hurt and gets people killed. But on the flip side, it can also protect you. You know, you need to be careful because doctors aren't always right. They are people. They make mistakes, and it's your life they've got in their hands.
If you question them, it gives them a chance to go back and reconfirm that what they're doing is right.
And if they can't explain it to you, now, like Andy said, a lot of these words, they're big words, it's complicated concepts. And so doctors have to use a lot of metaphors, and maybe some of the stuff is just going to go over your head. But if your doctor can't or won't even try to explain it to you, then something's up.
Yeah. Yeah, you basically, if you start to get brushed off and you're not feeling very good about the situation, do yourself the favor and seek a second opinion. Maybe just another doctor entirely.
Yeah, you don't even have to leave that office and make another appointment. Ask for a consult. Say, I want a consult. I want you to bring in another doctor. And I want to hear, and I want to talk to them. And get their opinion.
Yeah,
they can do that.
They really have to do that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fortunately we have great laws that are in place, and now, especially with the Affordable Care Act and all the regulation that it's brought in, that kind of thing is monitored. You know, it is part and parcel of the whole thing. So responsible medical information. Look out for yourselves. It's important. We hear less and less about these things happening in today's age, thankfully. We hear more about the historical, oh my God, they did what for how long to how many people?
Yeah.
After the fact. Thankfully, most of this is after the fact. So, but it's that way because we're taking control and because we're interested in ourselves and we're not necessarily hypochondriacs about it. We just want to know what's the best choice for me.
Yeah. It's, you know, like that guy said, I mean, I understand what he was saying. People trusted their doctors. Well, yeah, I get why you look on that as a glory day, because that is a good thing for people to be able to trust their doctor. But trust is a two-way street. Mm-hmm. If I go to a doctor's office and I'm asking intelligent questions, and you can't give me an answer that I can wrap my head around, I'm an intelligent man. I've got an IQ of over 130, and you know this. So I have empirical evidence. I'm an intelligent man. This is not just a brag. So if you can't explain to me what's going on, then I don't trust you. I go to a specialist now for my brain, and that's kind of an important organ. And you know when he looks at the MRI, and he says, okay, this is what's going on. I say, I want you to walk me through this. Explain to me what we're looking at here. If you can't do that, then I'm going to get another doctor. But yeah. You know, that's the thing. A good doctor will say, okay, here's what's going on. And here's the part that's really complicated, and basically what it means is this. And if there's got to be some kind of simple way that they can bring it to you in a way that you can wrap your head around. Or sometimes it'll come down to something as simple as your doctor will say, okay, look, this is you're not going to understand this because you haven't gone to medical school. This is really dangerous, but you should do it. If it was me and I am informed, I'd do it. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I've seen that happen with doctors. And if that's how serious it is and they get that real with you, then trust them. You know? Yeah.
And still, even in those cases, assuming that you have enough time, get that consult, get that second opinion. It's really hard to find a good doctor. And indeed, a lot of people simply don't have one. Right now, I don't have one. You know, the one that I went to when I was young, I could read several chapters of a book and take a long nap before I actually saw him at my scheduled appointment. You know, it took forever. And with all that, he saw me for a grand total of 5 minutes. You know, that was it. I waited 3 hours at my appointment time. for him to actually see me. Not a great experience, so I left. Went and found another doctor. He took not as much time in the waiting room and all that area, so people were seen more promptly. However, he actually would sit down and talk to you, and he'd get to know you and figure out what was going on with you, figure out what pets you have, what your lifestyle is, things that actually matter in your day-to-day life and existence as a human being. And he tailored the care to me. That is the kind of doctor that I think everyone really needs. You don't just need somebody that's going to prescribe you a pill, a magic pill that's going to fix everything, because there is no such thing. Yeah. And even then, it might take you 20 or so visits just to figure out what dose of that magic pill and whether or not it's the right magic pill that's even going to help you.
It took 6 prescriptions and 4 different dosages for me to find my magic pill. So this is not a simple process.
Yeah. The doctor that I was talking about that actually took the time to talk to me when I was having a bit of depression, he took my lifestyle and the way my day went into account when he prescribed what he did to me, and it worked right off the bat. That was a lucky shot, and it's really possible that there are other things that would have worked just as well or even better.
But very rarely are you going to find something that works and is like an overnight success kind of works right off the bat.
Yeah. So obviously I'm very fond of this doctor because he did hit that home run out of the park. But I understand also that he was just very, very lucky, but it was also informed luck. You know, he took the time to talk to me and get to know me and figure out what my life was all about.
Yeah. You know, it can also vary from case to case. You know, if you walk in with a fever, sore throat, and you're coughing up phlegm, well, that's a pretty much guarantee that you've got a certain type of virus. You know, it's like, okay, there are certain patterns that are going to emerge that, sometimes it's going to be a 5-minute visit because we know what that is. There's no two ways about it. You know, if it's flu season and you come in with flu-like symptoms, well, we should probably treat for the flu first. You know, sometimes that's the way it is, but you know, there is, and I've seen it because I was briefly pre-med in college. There is a list of things that a doctor is supposed to ask you when you come in, to see them. And it's like 3 pages long. There's a lot of things on there, and there's a lot of things that you wouldn't think are relevant, but those little things can lead to big diagnoses, and it is important. And you know, not every doctor is going to ask every question every time.
You come in with flu-like symptoms and you end up with Ebola. You know, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, you know, they're not going to ask every question every time because that's a waste of everybody's time. But if you come in saying, well, this is my complaint, and they should be a good doctor, is going to be going through that list saying, okay, let's pick some of the relevant ones out of here and start asking questions, you know?
Yeah, it starts with a conversation and hopefully ends with someone getting better.
And that's how you establish trust, and that's a good doctor.
Yeah. So, I guess there's some takeaways from the show today, which is, hey, wearable tech's cool. Mama Tits kicks ass.
Yep.
I did find out that apparently with all of our new shale oil extraction and everything like that, the U.S. is now the top producer of oil in the world, surpassing Saudi Arabia and Russia. Yay, us. Happy Independence Day. Apparently, Oil Independence Day. Apparently, somehow, some way, if you take enough amphetamines and everything else, you are capable of being a better communicator than even Ronald Reagan. cannabis oil will apparently get your vagina and genitals high. It's not good to mix your ministry with your court life. That should probably be separate. Don't have your pelvis surgically operated on without informed consent. And, I'm sure there's a few others. But, informed medical consent is probably the best one that you can come out of this whole show with. So there's your public service announcement for today. Have a good long conversation with your doctor. Get to know them. And if you don't like them, get another one.
There's a lot of doctors out there.
There's a lot of them. Yes. So in network, out network, whatever, suits your insurance care needs. So that's all the stories. So now we're on to picks. I have just recently discovered that, one of my favorite little devices, especially talking with Google I.O. recently, the Google Chromecast device, which is the little HDMI dongle, kind of looks like a little thumb drive, and it just sticks on your TV, and all of a sudden, very easily, you can broadcast things from your phone to your TV. Well, from your Android device. And as they've been rolling this out, they've unleashed a whole slew of new APIs for it, and a lot of developers are now Chromecast compatible or Chromecast friendly. And, also apparently with Google I/O, they've rebranded it. The device is the Chromecast, but the technology behind it is Googlecast, should you be interested. Because they're also going to implement it in the new lines of Google TV, which is replacing the older Google TVs, Logitech Reviews, the Sonys and all those out there. But one of my favorite apps, Pocket Cast, which I use for all my podcasting and, our show's out there too. So, hey, you can always take a look. I like it because I can listen to things faster. And by the way, we sound pretty good at 1.4 speed. Should anybody be curious? You can just speed us up and get through the show a lot faster that way.
We do go on and on, don't we?
The intro is outstanding because it's really fast. But I like the app because it does the high speed editing and things like that. But I wanted to be able to just sometimes throw it out on the TV and listen on bigger speakers. I was looking at other applications and the little Chromecast list, it was not very long of applications that are approved or whatever. But that is not the whole story, basically. There's a lot more applications out there that are Chromecast compatible, so one of your favorites out there might just be it. And, unfortunately, the Google Play Store sucks for figuring out what is Chromecast, friendly.
So. Strangely enough, because it's Google Store.
I think it's just an emerging thing that, you know, that they released it and weren't really, they didn't
yeah,
know that
is,
they needed to curate
it,
that portion.
Yeah, it just does seem kind of all over the place and it is kind of new, so we'll see what comes with time.
It's not nearly as bad as the Apple App Store.
That's awful.
Even if you know the name of something that you're searching for, you still can't find it without a link.
Good luck.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you have to go out to the manufacturer's website, you know, word of mouth, you got a link for there, and then you follow their link to finally get to the app. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's enough venting. So, hey, Google Chromecast is awesome, and a lot more of your applications that you might already be using and might be very fond of, turn your TV on, switch over to your Chromecast, and pick up those apps and see if the little casting icon appears, because you might just get that.
It's pretty cool.
It is. It is pretty cool, and it just works. So, anybody else? What you got?
Yeah, anything, Don?
I can't really. I can't really think of anything right now.
Hey, all right, well, I always got something.
What was that rum? What was that rum?
Oh, yeah, actually.
Plug the rum.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Let me find that. You can go ahead and I'll find that here before.
Alrighty. Well, I mean, everyone here is a bit of a gamer, but I think I don't think at least Andy would argue with me when I say I'm the most rabid gamer of us all.
It's a good title.
So, I am going to plug because Steam just had its summer sale. For those of you who don't know, for those of you who do know, your wallet is suffering as mine is. but I actually didn't spend that much. I got some really good deals.
Is it over?
It is over.
Oh.
It has ended. I am sorry that you missed it. It ended the 30th.
Tragic.
You know, I'm sure they'll have a back to school sale or something. But anyway, because they take any excuse to have a sale. Sure. Anyway, I picked up I picked up a little game called Transistor. It's from a little studio called Supergiant Games. They kind of exploded onto the scene a couple of years back when they released a little game called Bastion, which some of you out there may have heard of, with the amazing narrator who is as good as Morgan Freeman, if not better. No, seriously.
What?
Yes. No, seriously. This guy's amazing. Even if you don't play it, you should go find a Let's Play video and just watch someone and listen to the narrator and listen to the story, because I've always been big under RPGs. I want a game to tell me a story. I'm not just going to pick up Shooter of the Week and go. I want an experience, and Supergiant Games delivers an experience. Their stories are amazing. They do this thing where they release very little of the story at the very beginning. You know very little about what's going on, and through their in-game narrators, they very organically tell the story to you, and you learn what's going on, and it's really just, and it's fantastic. And the music and the atmosphere they create is just so engrossing. I can't explain how much I love these guys. So, you know, check out Bastion and check out Transistor from Supergiant Games, because those are, you know, they're relatively short. They're like $20 games that you can get. And you can, if you really want to, you can get through them in a day or two. But it will be worth every cent.
Hmm. Okay. So Transistor it's a shooter?
Bastion was a traditional, isometric beat 'em up. It was like it top down style. Not top down style, but like from an angle. Like Diablo was. Okay. And it's just a hacky slash kind of thing. You've got different weapons that you can get, and each of them has different like combos and things, and they have upgrades, and you can do all sorts of, you can customize your play style. But it's all real time. You're just kind of running around beating things up. Transistor, they've got the same setup, but they do a new thing where they have a little energy bar at the top, and it fills up, and when it fills up, you can hit space, and you can pause, and then you can plan your moves. You can point, you know, where your character's going to go, and then you can make an attack, and you can move, make an attack, and once you've consumed that energy bar, you hit go. And Red is the protagonist. She zips around the screen and does her attacks and beats him up. So it's a really fun twist on the setup they started with Bastion. You know, they did just a basic. They started with a pretty simple beat 'em up that most people have done, and then they threw a curveball at you, and it adds a little strategic depth to it, which is fun.
Strategery. Love yes. it.
That sounds kind of cool.
That does yeah. sound cool. Okay, so it's Bastion and Transistor, and those are both by Supergiant Games.
Yes, I have linked Supergiant Games' website in the Google chat for you, Andy. Both Bastion and Transistor are available through them, I believe, directly, and obviously through Steam. So, and if you play games, you probably have Steam. I know that Bastion was on the Xbox Live Arcade. I don't know about Transistor, but I assume it is, since Xbox Live Arcade was actually how they first distributed Bastion. They were there first. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, how about their rum to go along with those games?
Yeah, that was El Dorado.
El Dorado.
We were actually drinking an 8-year-old, but then they had our neighbor was very vocal about it, and he said they had a 15 and a 25 year as well.
Oh,
but it was rather tasty, and and those games, actually, you're talking about the top down or the isometric view games, that reminded me of a old game I used to play called Syndicate. And I know they made
they made a terrible reboot. It did not live up to the original.
The original was a great game. I wish I could find that. I wish I could find that so it would play on Windows, on the current Windows. That was such a cool, very detailed game that was just kind of fun to play.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish they had more games like that.
Well, if you like Syndicate, give these to a try. because between the music and the awesome narration, they're just so much fun.
That's storylines are the way games are going. I mean,
I understand wanting to just go in and shoot stuff up and make things explode and hang out with your buddies like League of Legends. You know, there's no real story there. I mean, there is if you go digging for it, but you don't. Yeah. You just go in and play matches and have fun. But on the other side, I want an experience. Tell me a story.
Well, the trade-off is also like the original Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
The top-down Grand Theft Auto didn't really have a story, but it was a lot of shooting up. Just like all, they try to add story to the Grand Theft Auto, but
it later never works.
But yeah, no, it was what it was. But yeah, the storyline, it's basically you're buying a book or a movie, but you're being interactive with it, which is a good idea. I mean,
that's what I want anyway.
Yeah. We like to be entertained, obviously. And, well, shoot 'em ups are nice, but you know, we gotta have some substance. Please? A little substance? Anyway. So I think that wraps up the show. We've got rum that we can drink while we're playing games and casting things to our TVs.
Sounds good. The games to the TV, yeah.
That, I don't think they're quite up for that yet, but I did find there was another application that I came across that allows me to draw on my phone, and it will then send it to the TV. So I'm about to introduce that to my daughter, who is a big artist. So I'll never get my phone back, though.
No, you'll never get your phone back.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what one that was. I don't want to take any more time looking for it either. Even though I'm still looking at it, trying to.
And nobody got time for that.
Well, just use it next time.
Yeah, I guess I could use that for the next week's pick if it's any good at all.
Yeah, or just plug it next week.
I could plug it next week. Yeah. Haha. Yes, that'll be the cliffhanger. If you want to know, you'll have to tune in next week.
<Dun-da>.
Tune in next week for the exciting conclusion
of this week's pick. All right, so that'll be episode 14, and we'll see you July 11th. So we'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Later, dudes.
Later. Bye-bye.
That's it for us tonight. We hope you've enjoyed the show as much as we've enjoyed making it. This is the part where I beg for audience participation. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's orellyradio.com. And participate in the live stream. Chat with us during the show on our IRC. And if you have topic ideas, email them to us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 470-222-ORLY-6759. And post and vote on stories on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/orellyradio. And if that wasn't enough, we're all over the web. Check out our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Tumblr, our Google+, and even video of the show archived at youtube.com. Consider leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or if you really love us, I mean really love us, consider help offset the cost of the show by contributing on our Patreon page, accessible through the Help Us link on our homepage. We really can't thank you enough for spending time with us. Until next time, this has been Orelli Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music Rocket and Pangea provided by Kevin McLeod at incomptech.com.